Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection, and I hope you've been enjoying our study this week. We've been looking at the fact that Christ is building his church in a miraculous way. And last time that we gathered together, we were talking about the fact that as Jesus is building his church, he's doing it in a way that is both working in us, maturing us, and he's working through us at the same time. And we're emphasizing the fact in these studies that God works despite really our frailties and our limitations and all those things. The building of Christ's church is ultimately a matter of his grace and a matter of his power. And so what I want to do this morning is I'd like us to go back to where we left off yesterday and talk about the story of Simon Peter. Before we do that, let's go ahead and read the text together again. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 56. Here's what the scripture says. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him before him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. It came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready of him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you're of. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like us to focus in on the life of Peter. And the reason I want to do that is I want you to see how Peter's life really illustrates so very vividly the concept of how God takes flawed people and he takes them and he uses them where they are in their level of maturity. But he didn't just leave them in that immature state. He works in them. In fact, he actually uses the ministry capacities that he has them functioning in. He uses those things to mature them and to shape them and to build them. And many times God works despite us, and God in his grace continues that work. You're going to see that as we work our way through the story of Peter's life. So what I want us to do is just take a few minutes to kind of work our way through that story. So first of all, let's start with that day that Jesus calls Peter to follow him. Peter is a fisherman, and he's there on the Sea of Galilee washing his nets, and a large crowd is growing. And Jesus asks Peter, he says, Can I sit in your boat and teach off of the shoreline? And so Peter pushes out his boat a little ways, and Jesus begins to preach and to teach. He begins to talk about the kingdom. Well, at the end of Jesus's preaching, he says to Peter, he says, Why don't you launch out into the deep, cast down your nets so we can go out for fishing? And Peter basically says, Well, Lord, we fished all day, all night, didn't catch anything. This is not the time of the day to fish. But he says, At your word, I'll let the nets down. As he lets the nets down, the nets become full of fish, and Jesus is obviously demonstrating his authority and his power. And when Jesus calls Peter to follow him, this is the way that Peter responds. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, it says that he tells Jesus, Depart from me, I am a sinful man. Peter understood how unworthy he was. Well, as we continue in the story of Jesus working both in and through Peter, we come to Luke chapter 9, the passage of scripture we've been dealing with for several weeks now. In that passage of scripture, there is a lot of discussion about the identity of Christ. And Jesus asked the disciples, Who do men say that I am? Well, they say, some say you're Elijah, or one of the prophets, maybe Moses. He says, Well, who do you say that I am? This is what Peter says in Luke chapter 9, verse 20. He says, You are the Christ of God. Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God. That's what Peter is saying. Well, Peter is confessing his conviction of the identity of Christ, a high point in his time walking with Christ. But then we come to Luke chapter 22, several chapters later, and we're towards the end of Christ's earthly ministry. This is in the Passion Week. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he looks over to Peter and he says the following: "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." He said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied me that thou knowest me." Now, when Peter hears this, he says, "There's no way that I'm going to do this." But we see, as we read through the rest of Luke's account of that week, that in fact Peter did deny the Lord. And so in Luke chapter 22, verses 30 through 62, we see the accounting of those things. And I want you to listen to what it says at the end of that section. It says, "Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned, and he looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now, up to this point in Peter's life, what have we seen? We've seen a man who recognizes his unworthiness. "I'm a sinful man." We see a man who says, "I'm willing to go to prison and to die for you." And he says it in his, I think, that he really believes it. He really means this. But he's naive of the kind of situations he's going to find himself in. And then here in Luke 22, verse 62, we see that Peter is a broken man. He probably has come to believe that Jesus does not want to continue to work through him, and that calling to be an apostle is something that it appears is no longer on the table. This is the way that Peter is feeling. And in Luke 24, after the resurrection, verse 12, when Peter runs to that sepulcher and he looks inside, this is what the text says. It says, "He ran to the sepulcher, stooping down, beheld the linen clothes, laid themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass." What does it tell us about Peter? He's a confused man. In fact, later that night in John chapter 20, verse 19, it tells us that in the evening, the disciples were assembled with the door shut because they feared the Jews. And this is where Peter is. And not just Peter, but all the disciples. They are afraid. They're wondering, is Christ really risen? They certainly are not thinking that he is going to continue to work through them the way that they apparently thought he was going to beforehand. And so this is where Peter finds himself. And Jesus reveals himself to the disciples. And now they know he is alive. But then the question is nagging. Is he still going to work through them? And so that moves us to John 21, verse 1, where Peter says to the rest of the disciples, "I go fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went and entered a ship, and that night they caught nothing. What do we see Peter doing? He's going back to what he had done formerly. It appears that Peter is a disillusioned man. He's a man that wonders if God still has something for him. He hasn't made full sense of everything that's gone on. But in John chapter 21, we see the amazing account of Jesus reestablishing his desire to work through Paul, or through Peter, and to remind Peter again that in fact he has been called and God is going to work through him as he had initially predicted at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so in John 21:17, it says that Jesus three times asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter, being grieved because he said unto him a third time, "Lovest thou me?" said unto him, "Lord, you know that all things, and thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." What is Jesus telling Peter? He's saying, "Peter, I'm not done with you. Peter, I still want you to continue in what I had initially called you to." Later on in Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter is preaching at Pentecost, and we see the boldness of Peter. And he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom thou hast crucified, both Lord and Christ." And they were pricked to the heart, and they said, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Save yourself from this untoward generation. Repent, be baptized." You need to turn to Christ and identify with Christ. In fact, Peter's boldness was so much so that in Acts 4:13 it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, what does this tell you? Jesus has called Peter. He's reestablished this calling. Peter is now motivated and he's preaching the word with boldness. And all of us would say, well, Peter must have arrived at the peak of maturity and we don't have any more problems with him. And the answer to that assumption is that's not true. Because in Galatians chapter 2, we read that Peter was caught up in the Jew-Gentile controversy. And it tells us that when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul withstood him to the face, saying that he had withdrawn and separated himself from the Gentiles, fearing those of the circumcision. And so even after Peter has been in the ministry for many, many years, we still see his flaws come out. But perhaps what is probably the greatest of all the statements that I'm going to read to you this morning is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, where we see the maturity of the apostle Peter at the end of his life. Here's what it says. Peter writes, "Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You say, Joel, why are you taking all this time this morning to go through all this data about Peter? It's very simple. I want you to see that in one of the greatest saints ever used by Christ, we see a man who was flawed. We see a man who, when he came into this position and this role and he was given this ministry, he was not a strong, matured believer. In fact, he was a person that had many warts and many limitations and many weaknesses. Yet what do we see in these verses? We see that Christ took Peter where he was and he chose to work through him. And not only did he choose to work through him, but he took all the different circumstances that Peter was experiencing in the ministry, and he took those pieces and he used them to refine Peter and to shape him and to mature him into the man that he ultimately became in 1 Peter 5 when he is writing, "Feed the flock of God, not by constraint, but willingly, not as a lord, but being an example to the flock." And I want to remind you this morning that we serve the same God. The same God of grace, the same God of compassion, the same God who works in us and through us, and he works through us even when we are not yet fully matured. This same God works in us like he did in Peter. And it may be that this morning you feel very overwhelmed in your life. You may feel like, I am so unable to function as a parent or function as a spouse the way that I should, or function as a Christian minister of the gospel the way that I should. And I wish I was a lot more matured, and I wish I was a lot more strong, and I wish that I had more knowledge, and I wish I had more experience. And we go through all these things. And I want to remind you that God is able to work in us and through us, even with those great limitations. I hope that will be an encouragement to you this morning. If it has, please take a moment to share that with someone, perhaps share some feedback. And Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to continue in our series. Have a blessed day. Bye now.